Welcome to Shasta County Elections, presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In our program, we have two individuals from a remarkable organization called the League of Women Voters of Reading. I want to welcome Susan Morris-Wilson, who's a current board member, past president, and Pam Crow, who is a current president. Welcome to you both.
Hi there.
Yes. So maybe there's people out there that have no idea, no history, or no contact with the League of Women Voters. So I'm going to ask you, Pam, to talk about the history. Give us a background on the history of the League of Women Voters.
Well, I think the League goes way back to the beginning of our country. Abigail Adams was the first one who sent to her husband a note, at least that I know of, that said, "Remember the ladies." But they didn't do that with the Declaration of Independence, but I think that idea kept bubbling until it popped up again during the Civil War, and that led to the suffrage movement, which went on for 57 years before the League got founded.
And what's a suffrage movement?
Voting for women.
Yes. Yes. It was the women got together and they were saying, we want the vote. Because there may be people listening that don't have any idea about that history.
Okay.
That's why I interrupted you. So.
Okay. Well, yes, that idea went on for quite a while, and it was 57 years after the Civil War when it was finally adopted as the 19th Amendment. 19th Amendment got ratified after the League of Women Voters was founded. So it was all right in the mix right there, people really wanting the right to vote, and then explaining to people how to do that, because women had not had the right to vote, and they probably, many of them didn't really understand the whole process. So the League was formed to make sure everybody understood and had a fair and equal opportunity to do that.
And, you know, also to mention that during that era with advocating to become voters, being allowed to vote, they went through a lot. Susan?
One of the points I wanted to make was with the 19th Amendment, white women got the right to vote.
Yes,
but not black
true.
Women. And I think that that's an interesting comment.
Or women of color at all.
Women of color.
Yeah.
True.
That came later.
Yes.
Yes. I can remember them talking about a march happening in Washington. It were all white women. And there were one or two brave black women that mm-hmm. entered the march. And so it was a process for our nation to be able to accept all women as voting.
Right. And black women really supported the white women during this effort, not knowing that they would be excluded.
Yeah, yeah, those kind of boundaries. Anything else about, that's national history.
That's national. Well, California followed suit, and the League was founded in California in 1921. And as far as I can tell from AI, it was founded in Reading in 1957. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were just a little bit behind the times here.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's a viable organization. And what I like to always clarify, in case there are people that are not familiar with the League at all, like I mentioned, so what would you say is the mission of the organization?
The mission is to make sure that people understand, are educated, informed, and apply that, and then vote. So
yes.
Those are very important things.
So when the League of Women Voters, which only women can join?
No, men can join.
Yes.
Women can join. Anybody can join, as long as you're 16 years old. And also, I think it's important to note that there are leagues in all 50 states and Washington, D.C. There's about 750 chapters, more or less, across the country. So it's everywhere.
That's awesome. And when you do a forum, when you do projects, whatever you're doing, do you have a political perspective? Are you Republican, Democrat? Are you green? Are you independent?
We try so hard to be nonpartisan.
Yeah.
Just to provide the facts from every side so people can make up their own minds once they know what's going on.
Yeah. I think it's critical that people know that you're not, you don't have any agenda when you're doing, your agenda is to educate from a nonpartisan perspective. You do have an agenda, it's to be nonpartisan.
That's right.
You don't have an agenda that's biased one way or the other. So you mentioned anyone can join the League as long as they're 16 years and older. I also want to highlight, you do these forums that give people a chance to hear the candidates. Susan?
So one of the things we particularly do in Shasta County is candidates forums and issue forums to make sure that people are educated about both the people that are running. We don't distinguish between Republican, Independent, Green Party, no party preference, or, and to bring issues that are important, and we're going to talk about, I hope, Measure B in some detail, so that people truly understand what it is, and they don't just read the title
yes.
and then vote.
Yes.
We want them to do a little more than that.
Yes. So I would say the League of Women Voters is very invested in trying to reach people, trying to educate people about the issues and who's on the ballot and all aspects of what it means to be in our community as well as voting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You also, from time to time, will do research projects.
Yes. We also do research projects. And we do research projects at all levels, the federal level, the state level, and the local level. And every, when the league takes a position, it's based on those positions. So we have studied locally many things. Mental health was one of the ones, big ones for us. The
yeah.
library was a big one for us. Land use was a big one for us that we actually did the study ourselves. But a lot of times we depend on the state studies or the federal studies. And now the league has become a little more open because lots of studies have been done. And so we could call Nevada and say, hey, do you have a study on X? And
yeah.
Let's say gaming was yeah. one that we called them on once and said, tell us a little bit about how gambling goes and so on. So we share those positions.
Yes. And I think it's important that people realize when you serve on the board or you're a member and you host the forums, you do this research, that all of it says volunteers, correct?
That's right. Correct.
Yes. And I think it's important. Maybe there's someone out there that says, you know, I'd like to be involved in a research project. I'd like to support voting. And so they can join and be part of that energy that ensures that people are being informed.
And one other thing that I failed to mention was that a lot of times we'll have a position that might be a little old. Maybe that position was built in 1997,
uh-huh.
and all of a sudden it's 2026, and the world is a little different.
The world is a little different.
You know, and so water is one of the things that really gets a regular look at.
Yes. And so when you have this research and you come to findings, how do you communicate that to larger community?
By doing forums. Our particular league, and every league, especially the local leagues, run a little differently. But our league, what we try to do is we have probably half a dozen forums that we present each year. You know, we call them lunches or, you know, any kind of thing that would get people to come.
Membership meetings.
Membership meetings. Just to educate people over issues. A lot of times they're an issue that might have showed up in the newspaper or in politics locally or something like that. We try locally to look at the local issues. And then with the coming of Zoom and video webinars and stuff like that, we can also make all those things available to our membership. And the membership in California or in the United States
yes.
for all that.
Yes.
So it's really evolving.
Yes. And I for myself, I know I've been to a number of the different things like the soup dinner,
mm-hmm.
soup supper.
Soup supper.
And which Donna Nelson has helped with for centuries, I think. But it's always, I always come away learning something and having dialogues with others, especially mm-hmm. around dinner. You know, it's a powerful time to be able to come together as a community. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people, you know, get involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of my doing the radio programs mm-hmm. is not only to educate, but to invite people, find something you have an interest in, a curiosity about, or want to spend some energy on, because mm-hmm. in this, if we do this together, our community is much more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yes. So in voting season, as we are in now, the league comes together and creates the candidate forums.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about the candidate forums sort of at three levels, because this is a big time for voting this year. So I wanted to just touch on federal group. And so we're voting for governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, district attorney general. I mean, every major position, we're voting for that. But to, and to give you an idea of how difficult it's going to be for people to make choices, for example, for the governor, we have 47 people running.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize that.
Just to give you an idea. And then as we work through some of them, the lieutenant governor, 16 people running for lieutenant governor. Secretary of State, 4 people only running for Secretary of State. There is an incumbent there. So that's an interesting piece. Not incumbents in governor or lieutenant governor. And attorney general, I just picked a few of them, 3, and there's an incumbent there as well. So for us here in Shasta County, the important thing about the federal election has to do with the redistricting of Shasta County. Mm-hmm. Shasta County previously was in District 1, which I thought was really great. We're number one in the whole country. But now we're in number 2. And I think it's really important to understand that it was very difficult for the league to take a position. And we ended up without a position because of the difficulty. You know, we like districting. In California, the way we do districting was designed with the help of the League of Women Voters many years ago. You know, so we have community designing, and now we have redistricting done by the legislature to make 5 Democratic sets. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's really important for folks to understand that what's going to happen in this election. So there's a special election on in June 2nd. There's a second special election August 4th. And I want to explain what happened here.
Please.
So now we will get to vote in June on June 2nd, and we will vote for a person to serve in the House of Representatives from January of 2027 for 4 years. All right? Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yes.
We have 7 or 8 people running. I'm going to just quickly go over that in a minute. Then in August 4th, we have actually only 2 people running, and they will fill the position was emptied when Doug LaMalfa died. And so from August 4th to January, when the person who was elected in June gets the position, one of those 2 candidates will
fill in. They'll serve from August till the end of the year?
Yes. So it's kind of interesting. Jared Huffman is actually running in District 2. But Audrey Denny is actually running in District 1 in the June election. Mm-hmm. But because they're still District 1 for that little period of time.
Wow.
So you can see how confusing this is going to get for everyone. Yes. You know, it is going to get quite confusing. And I think that I don't know if you want to read the candidates. People can read the candidates, yes. So I didn't want to sort of go there. But I wanted people to understand how important this election is and how difficult it really is to get a handle on.
Yes, you know? There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I know that the league will provide information for local elections. Will they provide any documents, you know, information on elections on the congressional?
Yes. And so everything that we do is filmed, and you can go both I think to our website, but most people just like to go to YouTube.
Yes.
And it will be on YouTube.
Excellent.
As well. And so already we have scheduled that forum. You know, it's done, and so the minute you hear this recording, you know, our presentation, you can just whip over there to YouTube.
Yes.
You know, and get the information.
So the form mm-hmm. is completed, and they can tune in, they can look on the League of Women Voters website, Reading area.
Reading area.
Or go to the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think it's really good that you're recording those because it makes it more available to a larger segment of our community.
Right. And it, you know, it's hard for all people to get there. We have a tendency to do all of ours in the evening because that's when we think we can get the most people. However, you know,
not always.
Not always.
Yes.
You know, and
I think it's good having the variety. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation. We're talking with the League of Women Voters Reading. We have the president, Pam Crow, board member, Susan Morris-Wilson. Both have been involved with the League of Women Voters Reading for a very, very long time. So thinking about that, anything we haven't talked about the federal that you want to, or does it feel like?
No, I think I've kind of touched pretty thoroughly on that.
Good, good.
And the state is you can go and look at what the ballots are going to be, and, you know, that's not a change, but I really wanted to focus on the federal and the local.
Yes. Measure B?
We'll do Measure B after we do the easy part.
Okay. We'll let you do that.
The easy part is what are the people that are being voted for? And so there are a lot of folks that are being voted for on a local basis, things that maybe you don't even have to vote for. For example, the treasurer, the assessor, the superintendent of schools, no one's running against them. They're running solely alone. There are three judges running, three judges for three positions, so no problem there. So where we start getting into some interesting stuff is District 1 and District 5. Both of those are the Board of Supervisors.
Shasta County Board of Supervisors.
Shasta County Board of Supervisors. We do want to spend a little time on that. One of the positions that I would call the state position, but I'm looking at it as a local position, it would be our assembly district person, our Heather Hadwick, who is the current incumbent, is running. There are three total folks running for that position. So that's something to pay attention to. And then the county clerk and the two districts are probably the three that are up for grabs.
Yes. When you say county clerk,
That's the official name of the Registrar of Voters.
Yeah, Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters.
Yes.
So a lot of different candidates this go around. It's important. I always encourage people to vote. Sometimes people feel like their voice, their vote doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
but it's critical.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to the Registrar of Voters, they'll say that a lot of the elections, you know, just a few votes have determined the outcome.
Right. And our we've had that right locally, as few as 50 people have made the
difference
in folks.
And when you have one candidate running, like say the Shasta County Office of Education Superintendent of Schools, can people write in, or is it that we're just going to vote them in?
You just vote them in. You can always write in. You can write in on anything.
I think it's important.
You know, write
know
clearly.
That.
I would say write clearly.
Write clearly.
Yes. Write clearly.
Yes.
I think the interesting thing in these three that we're just talking about, District 1, District 5, and the county clerk, is they all have incumbents also
running. Yes,
and I think that's important to know.
I think so too.
Pam, and just because they're an incumbent doesn't mean you vote for them.
Right.
You still think.
Yes. Pam, you had something you wanted to add?
Well, yes, because back when you're talking about the importance of one vote.
Yes.
When they were ratifying the 19th Amendment to give women the right to vote, there was one state left to go, Tennessee. And before this young legislator left his house, his mom got in touch with him and said, "Son, do the right thing." So he went to the legislature to vote, and he changed his vote to aye. And that's how women got the right to vote, that
critical
one young man.
One vote.
Yep.
And
yeah.
His mother loved him forever.
Yes. And many of us have since then, too. Yeah, it made a huge difference, didn't it?
It did.
It did.
So, and, you know, there's strategies for voting. I always, when I get my ballot, I vote right away and get it in. Some people like to go to the poll places, the precincts, and vote in person. That's great. If you're going to mail your ballot, you want to be sure it's postmarked by the day, last day of election. You want to
I would encourage people always vote the early. Day before the last, you know, before the last day of the election, because right now the post office isn't as effective in getting things stamped. And that's been an issue in other places.
Yes.
So make sure that you get it in the mail earlier.
Yes.
And Shasta County has 84% mail-in.
Yes.
84%.
Yes. Well, we're more of a rural community. Pam, you had something?
Yeah. I ran some test letters out. Mm-hmm. So I mailed them on one day, and they arrived at my friends' homes. And they were all postmarked the next day because of going to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So that's something to really take into consideration when your mail-in ballot has to be postmarked by a certain time.
Yes.
And that's why I brought that up, you know, because do it a few days ahead even, you know.
Yes. And, you know, June 2 is voting, so you can imagine that according to your experiment that you did personally, Pam, you could drop the letter into the mailbox on June 1, and it may not get postmarked by June 2, maybe June 3. I mean, you never know. So doing early is better.
And then, you know, there's kind of this five working day sort of things for counting in some counties. So when you have a weekend, it's postmarked late, and then you have a weekend in the middle, and then, you know, it can really challenge something.
And things changed over the last few years with our current Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, because the drop boxes, where we used to have 20-plus, now we're down to 4. We have one in Shasta Lake, one in Anderson, and 2 in Redding. So if you're out in a rural area, you have to drop your ballot at the polling station.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, there's not a drop box there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, important to think
about. And
one
of the drop boxes is at the, one of the pollings, you know, is at the office.
Yes.
So downtown, on Market Street.
Market Street. Yeah. Elections office.
Market and Placer. So, you know, keep that firmly in mind. And, you know, people like Mary Rickard, who were on the Board of Supervisors, and she's very upset that their drop box is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, what do those folks do?
Yeah.
You know?
It makes it a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
You know, it can seem overwhelming, so I really appreciate you coming in and sharing this information. So let's talk about Measure B. Susan, you want to start us off on that?
I do want to start you off on Measure B. So Measure B was prepared by the Board of Supervisors.
Shasta County Board of Supervisors.
Shasta County Board of Supervisors. And the purpose of Measure B for them basically was to change the county charter. So keep that in mind. We are now a chartered county, and they want to change the charter with the new system of voting. So I want to read to you what it's going to do.
Yep.
It's not actually Measure B. It's the Local Election Transparency and Security Reform.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the measure would require that elections at the local level should take place on a single day, one day. We're talking about one day here. Limited to in-person voting with limited absentee balloting. We already talked about 84% mail-in balloting. Ballots shall be in hand counted at the precinct. Now, this is something that people have not been thinking about.
There's 53 precincts in Shasta County.
There's 53 precincts, and listen to the rest of this. Using citizen volunteers counting in teams of 4 volunteers, ballot tallies shall be visible to observers of the election. So, you're going to count ballots at the precincts. With this
proposal, Measure B.
Counting shall continue until results are obtained on election night or thereafter, and results shall be published at that time. Voter ID shall be required to vote. And this has been one of the big issues, and this is also a proposition, going to be a proposition on your ballot for the state. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, voter ID comes with just a whole lot of issues, and we might want to touch on that a little bit later if you want to remind me.
I think we should do it now.
Okay, so voter ID, it's not that we don't get voter ID from people. We get it when they're registering to vote.
To vote, yes.
And we sign. And if our signature changes, the ballot will not go through.
Yeah.
It will not match that signature. And they will call you up and say, yo, this isn't your signature.
Do you want to verify it?
Do you want to come in? And then you come in, you show them your ID, you change your signature. They say, that's my signature, and then you change your signature. You know, so voter ID is really complicated. It's hard for people who change their names. It's hard for people who have birth certificates with weird names on them. I mean, there are so many issues to voter ID.
Well, you know what's interesting about it for me is it makes it sound like it's not required now. It is required. It's just not required when you're showing up at the polling station to vote. Did you have something you want to add, Pam?
I was just going to say that it's very difficult for some people to have to write to their home state to get a copy of their birth certificate and then write to wherever they got married and wherever they got divorced and wherever their husband perhaps passed away to get all that put together with another marriage certificate perhaps to show the train of names you've had. And I think you have to, as I understand it, you have to show all that to make sure you still match that person that was born however many years ago. And it's a legitimate, traceable trail that you have to show.
That can be very encumbered.
Very, very difficult, I think.
Time-consuming and expensive.
Mm-hmm. And presently, it's done through Department of Motor Vehicles. Verifies. This is our identity.
Well, that's one. That's one way. One way that you do it. And now everybody, when they go in and they sign, it's kind of a double check in a way.
Yes.
So that's one way that we can do it.
Yes.
Just to finish up here, voter rolls. One of the other things that they want to do is voter rolls will be controlled by the county, and not submitted to the state, not used by the state for any purpose. Upon adoption of the measure, if Measure B passes, what they're saying is that a new voter roll will be created and kept locally and kept off the internet in any way, shape, or form. So they'll do all the backup within the offices and so on. I had this bad dream after I was reading this, and I was thinking, what if the office burns down? Yeah. I mean, what are we going to do? But this is the basic Measure B. This isn't the whole thing, but I hit all the high points.
Is this different than what the state is saying?
Yes, yes.
So can they oppose the state with a measure like that?
Well, the state will oppose this measure because the state won't do hand counting. Gail Pellerin did that a couple years ago when we had the whole issue over hand counting. Gail Pellerin in the assembly did an emergency bill. The bill passed immediately. We did not hand count. We machine counted. We had to buy new machines, cost us millions of dollars, between the giving up Dominion and then getting a new set of machines.
Because really the state organization, Secretary of State, really is has the laws and sends them out to the counties on how things are to be handled.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so that everything's kind of an equal playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what we have is this Measure B that's originating in Shasta County that wants to challenge the state?
No, they're not challenging the state. They're just making it for their county. So they have not taken it as a challenge. They're ignoring the fact that there is a law already there.
Yeah, that's what I mean by challenge. And, There's a law that says...
So, yes, that's a good way to put it, I guess. And Huntington Beach also did this. Huntington Beach did something, well, a little similar to this. And after a year or two, I mean, they had to continue the way the state said.
Yes.
And then after a year or two, then it went to court and they said, no, Huntington Beach, you can't
Sorry.
Do it. You have to do it our way.
And you would think having the voter rolls state contain versus local contain would be a much better, to me. That's my opinion. So
yeah,
we're going to do a station ID. When we come back, we'll be talking about more of the things dealing with our current ballots. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, a volunteer producer with KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Today, we're here in conversation with two members of the League of Women Voters of Reading. We have Pam Crow, the current president, and Susan Morris-Wilson, board member, and both have been very active in the organization for many years. And we're in the voting season, so the League of Women Voters is very busy holding forums and helping to educate us on what the issues are and options are, and presenting forums where the public can go and hear from the candidates their thoughts on things. So coming back, this voter ID thing, Susan, do you want to say more about that?
I wanted to just touch on a few statistics, probably would be what I would say. The classic way that people actually, the classic document that people usually use is their driver's license. Now, not everybody has a driver's license. So we heard from Pam, you know, where do you get your birth certificates and stuff like that? So it's important that registration is done properly and well with signatures and so on. So the thing that we know is that when you take some of the voting statistics, we know that 28% of the black voters do not have a driver's license. 27% of the Hispanic voters do not have a driver's license. And that's the one that people use the most.
Yes.
The most. And it goes on. It's interesting that in today's world, young people do not have driver's licenses. So if you take the group of kids 18 to 24, almost half of them do not have a driver's license. Who knew? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, you know. And 40% from 25 to 29. So I think it's really interesting to know that we can't draw a box around what we have to do. We have to think and be thoughtful about how we register, you know. And I would encourage people to think about registration because you can't vote unless you're registered.
Right.
You lose your registration. If you move, if you change addresses and you don't think to change your driver's license, you don't get a ballot, right, in California, because your ballot is mailed to you and it won't come.
I think you also have to change your registration to vote.
Yes, you do. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is you have to register, you have to be registered by May 22nd. At your proper address with your proper name. Okay.
But people can walk in the day of elections.
You can. You can. And California is like that, but very few states actually are like that.
But how do those people that don't have a driver's license, how do they end up registering?
Well, I understand you can take your passport in. But very few people have passports, or not enough.
Right. And you can use an ID. So a lot of people who don't have a driver's license
have a real ID
or just an ID without a driver's license connected to it. So, yes.
Which is presented by the state. I mean, they go through the state for that.
So. Yeah, and the other thing that technically you can do is put the last four numbers of your Social Security number on there. I'm not quite sure how that all works out.
Well,
but there's a way
to verify it. Yeah,
there's a way to check that. Yeah. So I think that it's really interesting, and we have a safe way of registering people. One thing that makes it less safe is if, for example, you're doing all your voting by hand, like Measure B, that takes away one of the safeguards we have, which is way to look at, to have that data right there with you on a computer, to look at the person's signature and address.
And I think what many people don't realize is the voting machines are not tied to the internet. And I know that the current clerk, Registrar of Voters, is a supporter of the hand counting and says that there'll be video cameras watching people count. So that's kind of the position he has taken.
Mm-hmm.
What else on this ID thing?
I think that those are the main points. But we really want to make sure that people think about voter ID because that matters when you register to vote.
Yes. And to make sure you have a legitimate form of ID so that you're not stopped from voting.
Mm-hmm. Go prepared.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, go prepared, I think, is critical.
I believe when they have checked to see how many people have been voting irregularly, like they should not have been, it's something like 0.0001% or something in the country. So it's negligible. It's not really an issue. So it's kind of a strange thing that this has been brought up.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's, in our culture today, there's a lot of thing about conspiracy theories and fear of the government and fear of control. When you look at the, like you just pointed to, very, very low rate of anything like that. In fact, if there's any suspicion about someone, you know, usually they'll make a call, try to reach the person from the elections office.
Exactly.
If they can't or they're concerned about fraud, it goes to the district attorney's office. And the district attorney investigates and can prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a check and balance system in place because sometimes it feels like there's a conversation that there isn't a check and balance in place. And that, I think that's really unfortunate. Susan?
There was just a little blurb on MSN this morning that said this one guy sent in several ballots and He wasn't registered, and they picked up every single solitary one.
Yeah. Yep.
Every single solitary one. I think there were eight. I mean, it wasn't like it was a ton.
Yeah.
But for him, it was a, I can do it if I want. And he was charged with a felony and a misdemeanor.
Yes, yes.
So I, just saying that it's important.
And there's checks and balances in place to keep fraud from happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think the national stir back around 2020 election just kind of got everyone off balance. And I think it's important that the league is saying, you know, the checks and balances are there. Please register. Register, be prepared for the voting, and show up.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you do it through mail or whether you go to the polling stations.
And if you lose your ballot and you want to go vote, you go to a polling place.
Yeah.
Go to the elections office. They can give you a provisional, they'll call it a provisional ballot.
Yes.
But they will count it if it's correct when it goes through the system.
Yes.
Whatever system they're using.
Yes. So time is passing by quickly. So I want to talk about the upcoming forums. I know you have one coming up on Wednesday, April 15th, and that's with the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Which district is that?
That's District 1.
Pam, you want to chime in here?
She can go ahead with District 1.
Okay, you'll do the other district. Okay, Susan?
District 1, that's Kevin Cry, Aaron Resner, and Richard Gallardo.
So the current incumbent is?
Kevin Cry.
Yes.
And Aaron Resner ran against him last time. And she lost to him last time. But there were only the two of them. So this will go to a, unless somebody gets 50% of the vote, if you get 50% of the vote, then you get the position and you don't have to run again in November. If there are two people, the top two then have to run off. So it'll be interesting.
If they don't get 50%.
If they don't get 50%. Yeah. And the same applies to all of these.
Yes, yes. And so at the forum, what's the location for the April 15th forum?
The April 15th forum is at the Reading Library, April 15th, 5 to 6:30.
Yes. And it's open to the public?
Of course. Everything we do is open to the public.
And I'm going to give you a scenario. Let's imagine that you get there that night and Aaron Resner is the only one that shows up. Kevin gets sick and can't be there, and Richard has a family emergency and can't be there. What happens then?
We cancel.
Why is that?
We have a kind of a rule that says we want all of the people there. If just one can't make it, let's say where we have eight, you know, people running and one of them can't make it, which is the case actually on the District 2 federal election.
Congressional, yes.
Yeah, congressional election. Then that's okay, but we never have a lone person.
Because then it becomes kind of a platform for them to promote mm-hmm. their own candidacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Publix is invited. It's a Reading Library community room from 5 to 6:30 p.m. You can come and go as you need to, but you'll be hearing directly from the candidates.
Right, and then there'll be a recording on YouTube and on the League's
If you can't
website.
Make it in person, you mm-hmm. can go hear about it. Mm-hmm. So then coming up after that,
the next night.
Forum is what, Pam?
The next night, April 16th, 6 to 8, and it's going to be at the Anderson Senior Center, which is the same as the Frontier Center, and we'll be hearing Gary Oxley, Michael Gallagher, and Chris Kellstrom, who's the incumbent.
Chris is the incumbent, and this mm-hmm. is for which district?
District 5.
Okay, Anderson Senior Center. And it's April 16th, Thursday, the very next day, 6 to 8 p.m. You get to hear from all three candidates. And when you do these forums, how does it work? Does the public ask the questions, or how's that work? Susan?
Yes, I do a lot of candidates' forums, so I'll take
And I want you to chime in, Pam.
Okay.
So we actually have a very set process, and we have the candidates... The candidates are all there. We make sure that we rotate the questions. We work on only questions from the audience. We have a group of ladies that go through and sort them and make sure they are appropriate questions, because you'd be surprised how many inappropriate questions. We never have a question for one person, one candidate only.
All the candidates answer the same questions.
All candidates answer the same questions.
So the questions come by the audience writing a question on a card?
On a card. And
then you gather up, the League volunteers gather them up, right. They sort through them.
Yeah, and they sort of drift in, and they get sorted in a drifting way. But I think that it's really been a good way of doing this. We don't have any opportunity for people to talk back to another candidate. You know, you answer your question. We have an opportunity to introduce yourself for, you know, your experience, your education, what you've done.
A set amount of time, or does they go on as long?
Yes, everything in our world has a set amount of time. So yeah. Usually 2 or 3 minutes to begin with and 2 or 3 minutes to close up. And closing up is when you have a chance to say, you know, so-and-so might have said this. I really disagree with that, and I just want to make sure that you all understand my position.
Yeah.
You know, or
something. This is really important to me and no one asked me about it.
Or that, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
One of the problems that we run into is we usually just do these for an hour. And when you have eight candidates and you have an hour and you're doing 1, 2, 3 minutes, you only get 4 or 5 questions in,
yeah.
You know. And so it's really important that we leave adequate time at the beginning and adequate time at the end so that people can express themselves in yeah. case their question doesn't get asked.
Yes. So... People, if you have a 5 o'clock forum that's happening, should they get there a little early so they can fill out a question?
We will fill out questions all through. All people have to do is raise their hand. Somebody's going to bring them a question.
A card.
Yeah.
For a question.
Sorry. For a question. And we even carry pencils.
Mm-hmm. So they don't have to get there early. They can be there during the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually camp. Getting there on... The time suggested is a good thing because we have a limited time in our venues and we just need to get in and out timely. So we don't want anyone showing up too early. We're still
yeah.
setting
yeah, we,
up.
We start right on time and we end on time.
Good.
Yeah.
And I want to go on to the next forum that you're hosting, but I also think it's important. Maybe there's someone out there listening and they're not a member of League and they want to help out. They, you know, with a forum, meaning that maybe they're helping collect things or helping set up or whatever needs to be done. Do they need to join League, or are you taking volunteers?
We really don't use volunteers for our forums because
you want them to be members.
We want them to be members, and so we have actually had people say, "Okay, I'll join."
Yeah,
and some of them have become our major candidate forum members.
Good.
You know, people who have come and seen what we do, and they might not be interested in everything that we do, but they are interested in that.
Yeah.
It's
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
So volunteer typically means volunteer to join, and then we'll put you to work.
Yeah. No problem with that. There's plenty to do, isn't there? If you just joined us, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections, presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your host and producer, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation with two members of the League of Women Voters Reading. We have Pam Crow, the current president, and Susan Morris Wilson, who's a board member, who are both very much into the throes of candidate forums. So on April 22nd, which is a Wednesday, there's another forum that, Susan?
Well, I have the privilege of facilitating that forum, so I'm very interested in it. April 22nd, 5 to 6:30, again at the library, Clint Curtis and Joanna Francesca. He is the incumbent, and Joanna has worked for years as a assistant to the Registrar of Voters. So it's really exciting to watch those two who have quite a bit to say. I'm really excited about that. And there's only two. And depending on how this finishes out, we might have a different, you know, the decision will be made because there's only two candidates.
Yes, you mean for they may not have, they shouldn't have to go to November elections.
Right. November elections.
Yes, okay. So we kind of covered the forums. And the encouragement is for people to take the opportunity. They can ask a question of the candidates. Fill out a card when you get there. That's how you get a question. And the volunteers go through because there'll be duplicate questions or very much like sometimes. So you want to keep the things moving. So write your question legibly. I know when I've done things like this, you want to be able to read the question you get from the public. Also, what about the Vote 411? Who can, Pam, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I called them this week, and the lady said they are encouraging candidates to call them now, and then they will be called back by somebody in Sacramento to get the information for 411. 411 plans to be up and running for people in May sometime. So now's the time when the candidates can get their information in, and then they'll be published on 411. 411 is online, and you can go there. You put your address in and you find really specific information about what your ballot's going to have on it. It's just a wonderful thing to do.
So this is online. It's not a phone.
Online. It's online.
Yes.
And it's operated by the League of Women Voters California. It's their Vote 411 is their system.
And League of Women Voters Reading has a website?
Right. If you just go online and just put in LWV Reading area, you should come up with our website.
Yes. Yes. And are you on social media?
No, we're not on social media at this time.
Okay. So if someone wants to reach out to you, how do they do that?
We have addresses and phone numbers and emails on our website. So if you go to the LWV Reading area, everything will be right there on that sheet.
Great. Great. And I know that the League, at times you will see them at a table somewhere in the community, and you're registering people to vote.
Yes, we do that. It's a wonderful thing. Because sometimes people just totally forget that they moved 6 months ago and they didn't register again.
Yeah.
We've discovered a lot of people have changed their address with DMV, and that has automatically taken care of it, but not for everybody.
Right, right. Susan?
And it's interesting because older folks often are moving to a different location. And maybe
assisted
they have given up their driver's license during that time. And so it's really, the few times that we've really made an effort, we have discovered that that is a population that really needs attention when it comes to registering voters.
Yes. What else do we want the public to know?
I want the public to know that the League of Women Voters really is very proud of what we want to do. I think that we place great value in educating the population, in making sure that people think about what goes on. One of the things that we didn't quite touch on, but we will be getting to, is our presentations on what we call pros and cons. So as we know, California always has lots of different propositions. Most of them will appear in November, but there are a few that made it to the June election. And so we do spend quite a bit of time on those and talk about them. We talk about them on the live radio. We talk about them in person. We talk about them at our
meetings.
You know, it's like Measure B. Some things are really complicated. And if you just read the title, you miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, you really need to read it.
You really need to read it. And we'll have a document called the Voters Guide.
Legal Women Voters Guide.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it has one nice thing. It has the pros and the cons. The good things and the not so good things, according to the League.
According to the League.
According to the yes. League. And I think that that really helps people, because you can say, oh, that's a con that I like. That's a pro I like. That's a con I like. That's a pro I like. Oh, and then you balance it out. You know, well, all in all, I like it.
Yes. Does the League ever come out and endorse and say, this is our position?
Yes.
And that can happen. It would be there revealed in the Voters Guide.
Yes, because most propositions, literally all propositions, come through the state. And so the state, in fact, I just sat on a team recently with the state talking about how we're going to manage propositions this time, because they're very few. We locally could have taken a position on Measure B, still could, for all that, take a position on Measure B. I'm literally positive our position would be no, because it goes against everything that we believe in, mm-hmm. how people can vote, how you get, you know, registered, all that kind of stuff.
But say one of these come up, you as a local organization, how do you determine what your position is? Do you vote on it? How's that work?
It has to be part of a position that we've already studied at some level, either locally or at the state level or the national level. There's got to be a position paper already there that it's been studied thoroughly, and this is a position that's been accepted by the body that is there. So.
And this has been. Yeah. I mean, the way you vote has been
ongoing.
Ongoing.
Yeah. Yes. So the League of Women's Voters Guide, how do people get that?
Online.
Online.
You just go to LWV Voters Guide.
Right. And they say, do you want a PDF?
So you can get it online. What if a person doesn't have access to online? Is there places they can pick them up in the community? Is there printed versions?
Library almost always has them. They'll have some. And we have some. So if you come to any of our events, we'll also have them.
What about Bernie and the far reaches of Shasta County?
We asked Mary Rickert through AAUW to distribute some and keep
so there
them
might
there.
Be some in Bernie.
Yeah. As we get our hands on the voter guides, we'll look at the different places that we can possibly put them that are far flung, and make sure perhaps that there's notes in there, little local newsletters and stuff like that.
Yes. And always going to the website, you can get a copy digitally. I know it's challenging when people don't have access to the internet. It makes it very challenging. So I think we've covered it pretty well. Pam, do you have something you want to add?
Just one final quote. I read this the other day. This person said, I think we have a strong league that plays an important role here. It's important to know as much as we can, apply it to our world, and vote. And that was a person named Susan Wilson who said that.
Yes. And, you know, the invitation is for people to join the league. you don't have certain requirements that you have to show up to X amount of meetings. You get information and you can decide how much you want to participate, but it also empowers you to be supporting the work of the league. And I think that's important to be able to do that. So you have the local Reading area, you have the state, and you have the national. Mm-hmm. And would you say, Pam, 750?
Roughly, I think they kind of come and go, but it's between 700 and 800 chapters throughout the whole country, all 50 states.
Yes.
And in California, 62.
62 in California. Mm-hmm. And there are 58 counties. So
right.
That's good. We've got things covered. So the encouragement to our listeners is, if you haven't registered, please register and vote. If you've changed, moved, or for some reason changed your name or your address, you need to re-register. Otherwise, you won't be able to vote. And the encouragement, you know, your vote makes a difference. We want to hear from everyone. And the League of Women Voters, Reading area, and League of Women Voters across our nation, that's their purpose, to encourage people to vote.
You can register to vote online.
That's pretty cool.
Right. And it's really easy.
Awesome. Awesome. That's another tip, especially for young people that probably like technology a whole bunch better than showing up in person. They used to have registration forms at the post office. Do they do that anymore?
Yes.
Okay. That's another tip where you can go. You want to participate. I think it's critical to be part of the community. It's very easy to complain about things, and then you find out, oh, this person hasn't even voted. So,
yeah, you know, and one place where we've seen a lot of registration forms recently is in some of the peaceful protests that are going on, like No Kings and some of the others. Many people are out there with registration forms and
Excellent.
Saying, have you voted? So I think we see a greater production of registration forms.
Interest.
And I'm very excited about
yes,
that.
Very interesting. So the forums will also be listed on your website that are transpiring?
Yes.
Good. So if you missed out and can't keep track of what we talked about, you can go to their website, League of Women Voters Reading, and it has the list of different forums they're doing. I want to thank Pam Crow, President Susan Morris Wilson, board member. Both of you are up to your necks in swimming in forums that are transpiring. This has been a segment of Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. We want to thank you for joining us. Go and vote.